Leviticus chapter 14, I want to read the whole chapter. It's long, but I'm going to read from verse 10 on down to verse 20, and then I'll go back and kind of hit the highlights. Now, this chapter is part of the Old Testament law. Now, if you'll stay with me for a few minutes, you just got to kind of concentrate on purpose. How many's had caffeine in some form already? Raise your hand. How many are caffeine-free today? Shame on you. How disappointing. Well, you'll never pay attention. But Leviticus chapter 14, is there caffeine in chocolate? All right. Oh, come on. That's another way to get it. You don't have to be a coffee drinker. You could just, all right, okay. Leviticus 14, eat five or six Hershey bars every morning. That'd work. That sounds good. All right, verse number 10. Now, this chapter is concerning, this is part of the Old Testament law, but it's concerning the law of the leper's cleansing, okay? A man has leprosy, and yet there comes a point in time where he's healed. Now, by the way, let me just say this. If that happens, it's a miracle. That means in the law, God made provision for miracles. Because there were no known cures, and there still is no known cures for leprosy today. You know why? Because leprosy is a type of sin. And it takes a miracle to cleanse us from our sins. And so, okay, somebody's a leper, but he all of a sudden is miraculously healed. And so he comes and presents himself before the priest and says, I believe that I've been miraculously healed of leprosy. Well, there had to be a process that the priest went through in order to declare him clean. And so Leviticus chapter number 14 talks about that process. Let's see, how many verses are we? 57 verses. So it was quite a process. Now, Leviticus 13, let's read in verse number 10. It says, and on the eighth day. Now, preacher, what's happened the first 7 days? Well, let's find out. I just can't not read it. Let's look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall, now I want you to just think about these two birds. There's a whole message here. If you've got some spiritual discernment, you're about to have a fit. You're about to be excited about what Jesus has done for you, okay? Watch this. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be what? Killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now, folks, that's salvation. That's what happened. Hey, guess what? Somebody died so that somebody could live. But the blood had to be applied. Okay, the blood had to be applied. Well, there's a whole sermon there. All right, Sunday school's too short. We're going to have to keep moving. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and shall wash himself in water, and that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Now, that's the 7 days, first 7 days. Now, where we were going to start on the 8th day. And on the 8th day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and three tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and one log of oil. And the priest shall make him and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. He shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Now this is interesting. Watch this. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. I told you we needed a volunteer. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is to be that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe. This is why I couldn't do this. You see, I had to get some help here. I have to have a volunteer here. This obviously isn't going to work for me. If I had leprosy, I'd have to have it the rest of my life, because this is just wouldn't have worked. Verse 18, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. All right, Brother Nathan, come on up here. I want to help you. He's going to help me out here. This is a leper, and miraculously he has been cleansed. And so he comes to the priest and says, I believe that a miracle has taken place in my life. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to be presented before the congregation as clean. By the way, folks, the existence of a leper was a miserable and isolated existence. Let me say that again. It was a miserable and isolated existence. On into this chapter. Let's go back a chapter, chapter number 13. Let me just read you a few verses if you want to go back one chapter. Verse 43, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in the bald head, or his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, and the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, folks, listen, this is a sin of isolation, a sin of misery. By the way, a disease of isolation, disease of misery. And you know what? That's what sin does to us too. All of us were born in trespasses and sin. You weren't born saved. Okay? If you're saved here today, you're saved because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that there was a day where the blood was applied to your account. It's a miracle when somebody gets saved. Just like it's a miracle if a leper is cleansed. And so now he comes to the priest, and he wants to present himself as clean. And so there's a process that goes on. We won't go through every detail of it, but there is a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice had to be made. Once the blood sacrifice was made, this isn't real blood. I don't know really what this is. My wife brought me something that we thought we could use as blood. She was out playing with the cats, so I'm not sure what this is. It would have to go across upon the tip of the right ear. The blood would have to go. It is your left ear? The tip of the right. I don't know. Where's the tip?
The tip.
You think that's the tip? Because you're not a Vulcan? Not Spock. And then the right thumb. We'll go on the right thumb. All right, y'all need your shoe off. All right. Come on, we got to do it according to the Bible. We're independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christians. All righty. And the big toe. All right, now there you go. But he's not done yet. The Bible says that not only did they have to put the blood on those three areas, but also they had what they called a log of oil. Now, I looked up that word log. That word log comes from a root word that means to be hollowed out. So there was some kind of a hollowed out wooden container that they stored oil in. and they would take a log of that, whatever measurement that was, and again, they would take the oil, make sure I get on the right side this time, and do the same thing. Put it on the tip of his ear, put it on his thumb. This is the strangest thing I've ever done in a sermon. All right. Now, the reason I went to the I could have explained this, but I want to put something in your heads. I want to put something in your hearts. I want you to remember something. You see, folks, listen to me. Everything in the Bible was done for a specific reason.
Right.
You see, that Old Testament law is so boring. When I read through the Bible, I just skip Leviticus. You're skipping a lot of pretty wonderful things.
Yes, sir.
Did you get that first part of the chapter?
Yes.
Two birds were brought. One of the birds were killed. The blood of that bird was put upon the bird that was going to be loosed, and then it was set free. Folks, come on. I mean, good night. Listen, why don't you get excited about being saved? Why don't you go back to the day you got saved and realize what Jesus did for you? You know, I don't understand. Young people, you better get, if you're saved, a great miracle happened in your life. Something that should change you forever and change the direction of your life forever. Jesus died for your sins. And one thing, Brother Tom, I don't get. I'm just going to vent for a minute here. But I don't get that. Can you imagine a leper being miraculously healed, have a chance to come back here, go through the process of being declared clean, and then after 2 or 3 years come to the priest and say, you know what, I really missed the leper camp. I just missed the leper camp. I think I'm going to go back and hang out with the lepers. And hey, you know what, maybe I'll even catch it again. If you've been delivered from that, or your family's been delivered for that, see, most of you young people, see, I was here with most of your young people when your parents got saved, your grandparents got saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they were saved out of the leper's camp.
Yes.
A couple generations later, we got a bunch of kids wanting to go back and live in the leper's camp.
Amen.
You know, you're just not too bright. I don't know how else to put it. You know what? You're disrespecting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're disrespecting it. It's not about me. It's not about Blessed Hope. You're disrespecting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I feel better.
Amen.
So there now, why there? Are you like me? Why there? I mean, you know, he could have put it on his nose. He could have put it on his chin. He could have put it
elbow
under his armpit. Elbow. Why there? All right. Thank you, Brother Nathan. Thank you. Here, there's some stuff you can use and whatever. Why there? That's what captivated my attention, my Bible reading just recently. Why there? Of all the places, which one was first?
The ear.
The ear. What was put on the ear?
Blood.
What else was put on the ear?
Oil.
What was the second thing?
The thumb.
What was put on the thumb first?
Blood.
By the way, the oil don't come till the blood's there. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. All through the Bible, the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in you until you come to Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven through the shed blood. The blood and then the oil. But listen, if the blood comes, the oil follows.
Amen.
Then where's the last place?
I know.
Or the great stub, whatever you've got, you know. The blood came first. And then what came after the blood?
Oil
came first. Or came second. Now watch this. Young people, adults, we all need to sit at the feet of this chapter and learn something. You see, I think God is trying to teach you something here. When I watch somebody begin to go through a process of backsliding, it goes in three steps. And it starts with what? Starts with the ear. Doesn't start with the hands. They don't go out and start doing anything. Doesn't start with the feet. They take off. It starts right here. Now listen. Everything that you listen to ought to be filtered through two things. Come on now. Is this good? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Everything you listen to ought to be filtered through two things. Some ding-dong wants to come to you and try to run down Jesus Christ, run down salvation, run down holiness. You know what? Everything ought to come through two filters. First of all, watch this. It ought to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And it's about time we all just kind of stood our attention here.
Yes,
took a reverent attitude right now. Because if it's not for the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to split hell wide open.
Yes, sir.
Now, you want to mock me, young ladies, mock me, but don't mock the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's
good.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know what? You better remember, Jesus paid for your sins.
Right?
Right. And he paid with his shed blood. Okay? You wanna blast rock music into these things? You're blasting the past the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And past the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
You wanna listen to dirty, filthy things? You wanna listen to the wrong TV program? You know what? It's coming right through here. It's going right through the past the blood. It's going right past the Holy Spirit of God.
That's good.
That's right.
Now it's about time we start respecting Jesus a little bit more.
Amen.
It's about time we start showing proper respect to the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you're saved, it's because of the blood of Christ. And if you're saved, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. Okay? And what you better do is realize that if you're going to listen, what caused a Christian to reach out and start doing stuff with his hands that he shouldn't do? What caused a Christian to start taking his feet and going where he shouldn't go? It all started with this right here. Now flip over to Psalms chapter number 1. Most of you have this memorized. You know what? I think that I can safely say this, and it might be a toss-up between Psalms 1 and Psalms 100, but every young person that goes through Blessed Hope Baptist Church, probably the first two chapters, either in Master's Club or in a Christian school, that they are required to memorize is either Psalms 100, Psalms 1, I don't know which order, but I promise you, by the time they're 5 or 6 around here, if they're plugged into the program, they can quote those two chapters.
Amen.
Now, young people, please listen to me, and adults listen to me, because it's not young people messing their lives up. It's adults that are disgracing the blood of Jesus Christ and trampling under their feet and ignoring the Holy Spirit of God. But let me tell you something. There's a reason. We just don't say, well, those are two easy chapters. There's a reason we've done that. There's a reason way back when Dad started the school, and he loved the Word of God, and he wanted to change young people's lives, that he picked one of the first two chapters that they memorized, Psalms 100 and Psalms chapter 1. And you know what? We haven't seen fit to change it, because if you need two chapters in your life, you're going to need two chapters. Psalms 100, I call it the attitude psalm.
Amen.
It is. You know what? If you'll live by Psalms 100, you will always have the right attitude comes to serving and worshiping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a bad attitude, a good place to go to fix it is Psalms 100. If you'll obey the verses in Psalms 100, it'll transform your attitude. Okay?
Yes,
sir. Psalms chapter 1 is for protection. Psalms chapter 1 elevates the importance of the Bible over the voice of men. Blessed is the man that, what is it? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Stop. One of the first verses you ever memorized in your life, and I'm sick and tired of watching young people ignore that verse. Because if you ignore that verse, jump on down, you shall be like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You're not going to stand the day of judgment. Now what's happened? You know what? If you realize that there's been blood put here. Hey, you were a leper.
Yes, sir.
And so was I.
Yes, sir.
And there's been blood put here. And that blood is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been oil put here. That's part of the proof of the cleansing process. And everything that goes into here ought to have to go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and pass the approval of the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll, now listen, blessed is the man that walketh not in the what?
Counsel
of the ungodly. Counsel means advice.
Yes.
If an ungodly person comes to you, ungodly in their lifestyle, ungodly in their testimony, ungodly in the direction of their life,
yes, sir.
But they want to give you counsel, That counsel ought to be filtered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you've got ungodly people trying to give godly young people counsel. Wrong counsel. Bad counsel. Measure their counsel up against the precious, pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Measure their counsel up against the Holy Spirit of God. So you've got the ungodly coming. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of... Now you say, preacher, but everybody's a sinner. In this verse, we're talking about unrepentant sin. We're talking about somebody who's not... Listen, this isn't somebody who's trying and messed up. This is somebody that's just, I mean, they're wallowing around in it. Sin, you know what? That's their adopted lifestyle. Now, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so there's three people that are going to try to talk you into stuff. All right? There's three types of people that's going to try to... Look, but did you notice that? Here you are walking... There's the Lord Jesus. You're walking in the will of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that's the devil's plan. What he wants to do is he's got a young person walking with the Lord, walking in the right direction. A sinner comes along and walks with them for a while. Next thing you know, they're standing there talking to him. Next thing you know, they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. They've joined the scorner in sitting and doing nothing for God but scorning, which means to mock or make fun of people who are doing something for God. And you know what? You know why you got there? Because when the sinner came up beside you while you were walking, when you used to be right with God, you started listening to what they said. And you didn't filter it through the blood of Jesus. And you didn't filter it through the Holy Spirit of God. So next thing you know, you're standing around with a bunch of sinners. And now you're sitting over here laughing and mocking at people that are trying to do right. I hope that you're saved enough to hear what I'm saying this morning. Because that's how the devil's work. Listen, folks, I didn't start working with young people today. All right, I've been doing this a long time. Brother Russ has been doing it longer than me. I mean, he was a contemporary of Moses. I mean, he's been at this thing a long time. And he could stand up and tell you story after story after story after story of 40-some years, I think, in the ministry, or more. Brother Russ, how many years in the ministry? 42 years in the ministry. He's watched a whole scad of young people come through the Bakey Road Baptist Church. We've watched a whole bunch of them come through Blessed Hope. It don't matter if it's Jasonville or Evansville. Bible principles, and the devil uses the same silly things on the same silly little Christians who will allow it to happen in their life. Now, if in kindergarten you could stand there and get a sticker for saying, blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of God that stands in the way, and you've been saying it every year because we almost have you re-memorize it every year, for all of these years, and yet it never penetrated past your memory bank and never made it to your heart, then you are in grave danger this morning. Now, here's the assignment this week and for the rest of your life. If you want protection, every time somebody tries to say something, every time somebody tries to get your ear, you make sure that everything they're saying is filtered through and worthy of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not, shut them down.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all you young people are still sitting up front here. All you young people hearing me? Okay, shut it down. Okay, if it can't make it past the approval of the Holy Spirit of God, shut it down. Whoa, I can listen to that. I listen to that. No, I'm sorry, man. I've known Psalms chapter 1 since I was 4. I'm smarter than that. Nope. Sorry. God bless you. Go live your life if you want to. Go mess up if you want to. Don't bring that junk to me. You see, because my delight, watch this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of scorn. But his delight is in the... The law of the Lord? Didn't we just say we looked at the Old Testament? Oh. So I went back here to Leviticus and I meditated on leprosy, and I figured out that there's a reason that priest put the blood there. Whoop, wrong one. Blood there. Blood there. It's discouraging. It is. Thank you, Brother Nathan. You know, you were like my surrogate big toe today is what you were. Yes. Mark that off your bucket list. All right. Yeah, right there. And hey, you know what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is. So I think I'm going to think about this and figure out why blood and why oil before they would declare them clean. Because watch this, young people. Some of your ears, I know your soul's been saved, but some of your ears need to get saved. Come on now. I know your soul's been saved, but some of your thumbs need to get saved. Because if you let this start being affected, next thing you know, you're going to be reaching for things and touching things that are defiled, touching things that are an abomination to God, being involved in activities that break the heart of the Lord Jesus. Hey, Jesus came to die for sins, to die and pay for your sins. He's come to forgive your sins. He's come to cleanse you from your sins. And your thank you to him is to go out and embrace sin. That's your thank you. The Holy Spirit of God has been put inside of you to guide you to holiness. That's why he's there. God sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into living a holy life. Amen. So put the blood on, put the oil on, put the blood on, put the oil on. Watch, it's just not your ears, young people. Well, somebody's trying to get me involved in this. Before you reach there, wait a minute. If what you're about to be involved with, does it properly represent the precious blood, the cost? Listen, are you disgracing the cost and the price that was paid on Calvary to be involved in this, to participate in this? Are you grieving the Holy Spirit of God to reach out and be involved in this? Hey, come on, let's go to this. Before your feet carry you there, are you going to trod underneath those feet the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to tread under those feet the holiness of the Spirit of God? I'll end with an illustration, and we have used it a few times. My dad in his early ministry used it a lot. And I heard a lot of other preachers use it back in the 70s. Brother Russ probably has used it and heard it many times. It's kind of gone out of, I don't hear it much anymore. There were four people that were seated on a train back in the olden days, the Western days, a table between them, two facing this way, two facing that way. One man had his arms underneath the table, and the other three men sat down. And one of them pulled out a deck of cards when the train began to go and said, "How about we play a little card game?" And two of the men said yes, and the third man said, "I'd like to do that, but I'm sorry, but I don't have any hands." And they said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize that hands were under the table. I didn't realize that. I hope I didn't embarrass you. I didn't realize that." A few minutes later, they came through with some refreshments. They set some drinks and some water and a few snacks, and pretty soon the man that had said he had no hands reached up and gets a drink and reaches with his other hand and gets something to eat. And the guy said, "Hey, I thought you said you didn't have hands." He said, "I don't. These aren't mine. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They became his the day that I got saved. I don't play cards and I don't gamble because I'd have to use the hands of Jesus to do it." I mean, folks, what happened to that kind of Christianity? Brother, that's what we all thought we were getting into, we got saved. That was taken for granted stuff when people got saved in the 70s. Folks didn't get saved and then decide, you know what, I can be saved and still use my ears to listen to things I shouldn't listen to, use my hands to discredit and destroy the testimony of Christ, use my feet to walk into places Jesus wouldn't go. Hey, you don't have ears anymore. And you don't have hands anymore. And you don't have feet anymore. You've been bought with a price. Wherefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, we'd take this Bible lesson this morning, Lord, and that you'd help us, dear God, to understand the great and be reminded of the great price that was paid. Lord, the blood and the oil, before the leper could be declared clean, the blood and the oil, I pray, Lord, that you would help, Lord, dear God, in these wicked times, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In these wicked times, I pray, Lord, that you'd protect the Christians and help us, Lord, to remain loyal to the blood of Christ and to the Holy Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name.